Chapter 8. Facing the members of the group Pretty Blue Fox, Bill Calamine said, "Ladies and gentlemen, Jerome Luckman has been murdered, and every one of us is a suspect. That's the situation. There isn't much more I can tell you at this time. Naturally, there will be no game playing tonight." Sylvanus Angst giggled and said, "I don't know who did it, but whoever it is, congratulations." He laughed, waiting for the others to join in.
"Be quiet," Freya said to him sharply.
Coloring, Angst said,
"But I'm right. It's the best news."
"It's not good news that we're under suspicion," Bill Calamine said shortly. "I don't know who did it, or even if any of us did it. And I'm not even sure that it's to our advantage. We may find enormous legal complications in getting back the two California title deeds which we lost to him. I just don't know, it's too soon. What we need is legal advice."
"Right," Stuart Marks said, and around the room the other members of the group nodded. "We should jointly hire an attorney, a good one."
"To help protect us," Jack Blau said, "and to advise us how best to get those two deeds back."
"A vote," Walt Remington said.
Irritably, Bill Calamine said,
"We don't need to vote. It's obvious we need an attorney. The police will be here any time now. Let me ask this."
He glanced around the room. "If one of you did it, and I stress the word if, does that person want to declare himself now?" There was silence. No one moved. With a brief smile, Calamine said, "That takes care of that anyhow. If one of us killed Luckman, he's not going to say."
"Would you want him to?"
Jack Blau asked.
"Not particularly," Calamine said.
He turned to the vidphone. "If no one objects, I'll call Bert Barth, my attorney in Los Angeles, and see if he can get right up here. All right?" Again, he glanced around. No one objected.
"All right, then," Calamine said, and dialed.
Schilling said,
"Whoever did it, for whatever motives," his voice was harsh, "putting it in Carol Holt Garden's car was a vicious and brutal act, wholly inexcusable."
Freya smiled. "We can condone the murder, but not putting the body in Mrs. Garden's car. An odd era we're living in."
"You know I'm right," Schilling said to her.
Freya shrugged. Into the vidphone, Bill Calamine was saying, "Give me Mr. Barth, it's an emergency." He turned toward Carol, who sat by Pete and Joe Schilling on the large center sofa.
"I'm particularly thinking of your protection, Mrs. Garden, in our hiring of legal counsel, since it was found in your car."
"Carol's no more a suspect than anyone else," Pete said. "At least he thought. I hope not." "Why should she be? After all, she notified the police as soon as she found it." Lighting a cigarette, Schilling said to him,
"So I arrived too late. I'll never have my opportunity to get back at Lucky Luckman."
Stuart Marks murmured,
"Unless you already have."
"Meaning what?"
Schilling said, turning toward him and surveying him.
"Hell, what do you think I mean?" Marks said.
On the vid screen, the firm, elongated features of the Los Angeles attorney, Bert Barth, had formed, and Barth was already in the process of advising the group.
"They'll come as a team," he was explaining to Bill Calamine. "One Vug, one Terran. That's customary in capital crimes. I'll get up there as soon as I can, but it'll take me at least half an hour. Be prepared for them both to be excellent telepaths. That's customary, too. But remember, evidence obtained through telepathic scanning is not legal in a Terran court of law. That's been solidly established."
Calamine said, "It sounds to me like a violation of the provision in the U.S. Constitution against a citizen being forced to testify against himself."
"That, too,"
Barth said, nodding. Now the whole group was silent, listening to the conversation between Calamine and the attorney.
"The police telepaths can scan you and determine if you're guilty or innocent, but other evidence has to be produced for it to stand up in court. They will use their telepathic faculties to the hilt, however. You can be sure of that."
The Rushmore effect of the apartment now chimed and then announced,
Two persons are outside, wishing to enter. Police? Stuart Marks asked. One Titanian, the Rushmore effect said, and one Terran. Are you police? It was addressing the visitors. They are police, it informed the group. Shall I admit them? Have them come on up, Bill Kellermine said, after an exchange of glances with his attorney. Barth continued.
What your people must be prepared for is this. By law, the authorities can disband your group until this crime is solved. In principle, it's supposed to act as a deterrent to future crimes committed by game-playing groups. Actually, it works out more as a simple punitive gesture, punishing everyone involved.
Dismally, Freya said, Disband the group? Oh, no.
Sure, Jack Blau said grimly. Didn't you know that? It's the first thing I thought of when I heard about Luckman's death. I knew they'd disband us.
He glared around the room as if seeking for the person responsible for the crime.
Well, maybe they won't, Walt Remington said.
There was a knock at the apartment door itself. The police.
I'll stay on the vid phone, Bert Barth offered. Instead of trying to make it up there, I can probably advise you better this way.
From the vid screen, he looked toward the door.
Well, maybe they won't, Walt Remington said.
There was a knock at the apartment door itself. The police.
I'll stay on the vid phone, Bert Barth offered. Instead of trying to make it up there, I can probably advise you better this way.
From the vid screen, he looked toward the door. Freya opened the door. There stood a lean, tall, young Terran, and beside him, a Vug. The Terran said,
I'm Wade Hawthorne.
He produced a black-backed leather wallet, which contained their identification. The Vug merely rested in its customary fashion, overtaxed by the ascent to this floor. Stitched to it was the name thread E.B. Black.
Come in, Bill Kalamine said, striding toward the door.
I'm the group's spinner. Bill Kalamine's my name.
He held the door wide, and the two officers entered the apartment, the Vug E.B. Black coming first.
We wish first to talk to Mrs. Carol Holtgarten, the Vug thought propagated to the group, since the corpse was found in her car.
I'm Carol Garten.
She rose to her feet, stood steady and calm as the team of police turned to face her.
Do we have your permission to scan you telepathically? Wade Hawthorne asked her.
She glanced at the vid screen.
Tell them yes, Bert Barth said.
To the two police, he said, I'm Barth, their legal counselor in Los Angeles. I've advised my clients, this group, Pretty Blue Fox, to cooperate with you fully. They will all be open for telepathic scanning, but they understand, and I know you do too, that any evidence you obtain in this fashion can't be entered in a court of law.
That's correct, Hawthorne said, and walked over to Carol. The Vug slid slowly after him, and there was silence.
It appears to be as Mrs. Garden related on the phone, the Vug E.B. Black said, presently. She discovered the corpse in mid-flight and at once notified us.
To its companion, the Vug continued, I find no indication that Mrs. Garden had any prior knowledge of the corpse's presence in her car. She does not appear to have had anything to do with Luckman prior to that discovery. Do you agree?
I agree, Hawthorne said slowly.
But,
he glanced around the room,
there is something in connection with her husband, Mr. Peter Garden. I'd like to examine you next, Mr. Garden.
Pete, his throat dry, rose to his feet.
Can I talk with our attorney a moment in private? He said to the policeman, Hawthorne.
No,
Hawthorne said in a pleasant, even voice.
He's already advised you on this matter. I see no reason to permit you to—
I'm aware of what his advice is, Pete said. I'm interested in learning the consequences if I were to refuse.
He walked across the room to the vidphone.
Well, he said to Barth. You'll become a prime suspect, Barth said. But it's your right. You can refuse. I'd advise you not to. Because if you do, they'll never stop hounding you. They'll scan you sooner or later anyhow.
Pete said,
I have an aversion to having my mind read. Once they discovered his amnesia, he realized they would be certain he had killed Luckman. And perhaps he had. The obvious was confronting him brutally.
What's your decision? Hawthorne asked him.
You've probably begun to scan me already, Pete said. Barth, of course, was right. If he refused, they would scan him anyhow, if not now, then some other time.
Go ahead, he said, and felt sick and weary.
He walked over to the two of them and stood with his hands in his pockets.
Time passed. No one spoke. I've picked up the matter which Mrs. Garden was thinking about, the Vug thought radiated to its companion. Have you?
Yes, Hawthorne said, nodding.
To Pete, he said,
You have no actual memory of today, do you? You've reconstructed it from remarks made by your auto, or at least by alleged remarks.
You can question the Rushmore of my car, Pete said.
It informed you, Hawthorne said slowly, that you paid a visit to Berkeley today. But you don't actually know if it was to see Luckman, and if so, whether you did see him or not. I can't imagine why this block in your mind exists. Was it self-imposed? And if so, how?
I can't tell you the answer to that, Pete said, as you can certainly read for yourself.
Hawthorne said dryly,
Anyone intending to commit a capital crime would of course know that telepaths would be brought in. He would have to deal with that, and nothing could possibly benefit him more than a segment of amnesia entering to block out that period of his activities.
To E.B. Black, he said,
I would presume we should take Mr. Garden into custody.
The Vug answered, Perhaps, but we must examine the others as a matter of course. To the group it declared, You are ordered to disband as a game-playing organization. From this moment on, it is illegal for any of you to come together for the purpose of playing bluff. This ruling will hold until the murderer of Jerome Luckman has been found. They turned instinctively to the vidscreen. Barth said,
It's legal, as I warned you.
He seemed resigned. Speaking for the group, Bill Calamine said to the two police, I protest this. Hawthorne shrugged. He did not seem particularly worried by Calamine's protest.
I have picked up something unusual, the Vug said to its companion. Please scan the rest of the group as a whole and see if you agree.
Glancing at him, Hawthorne nodded. He walked slowly about the room, from person to person, and then back to the Vug.
Yes, he said. Mr. Garden is not the only person here unable to recall what he did today. In all, 6 persons in this group show similar lapses of memory. Mrs. Remington, Mr. Gaines, Mr. Angst, Mrs. Angst, Mrs. Calamine, and Mr. Garden. None of them have intact memories.
Astonished, Pete Garden looked around the room and saw by the expressions on the faces of the other 5 that it was true. They were in the same situation that he was, and probably like himself. Each of them had believed his situation unique. So none of them had discussed it.
I can see, Hawthorne said, that we're going to have difficulty establishing the identity of the murderer of Mr. Luckman, in view of this.
However, I'm sure it can be done. It merely will take longer.
He glared at the group with displeasure. In the kitchen of the Con Apt, Janice Remington and Freya Gaines fixed coffee. The others remained in the living room with the team of detectives.
How was Luckman killed? Pete asked Hawthorne.
By a heat needle, evidently. We're having an autopsy performed, of course. We'll have certain knowledge then.
What the hell is a heat needle? Jack Blau asked.
Hawthorne said,
A sidearm left over from the war. They were all called in, but a large number of servicemen kept theirs, and we find them being used every now and then. It employs a laser beam and is accurate from quite a distance, assuming there is no intervening structure.
Coffee was brought. Hawthorne accepted a cup and seated himself. His companion, the Vug, E.B. Black, declined. On the vidscreen, the miniature image of their attorney, Bert Barth, said,
Mr. Hawthorne, whom do you intend to hold? All six persons with defective memories? I'd like to know now, because I'm going to have to ring off this line soon. I have other commitments.
It seems probable we'll hold the six and release the others. Do you find that objectionable, Mr. Barth?
Hawthorne seemed amused. Mrs. Angst broke in.
They're not going to hold me, not without a charge.
They can hold you, anybody, 72 hours at least, Barth said, for observation. There are several blanket charges they can bring in, so don't fight that, Mrs. Angst. After all, a man has been killed. This is a serious matter.
Thanks for the help, Bill Calamine said to Barth, a little bit ironically, it seemed to Pete.
I'd like to ask you one more thing. Can you begin work getting the stricture on our meeting for game playing removed?
I'll see what I can do, Barth said. Give me some time. There was a case last year in Chicago. A group there was dissolved under the same statute for several weeks, and naturally they took it to court. As I recall, the group won its case. Anyhow, I'll look into it.
Barth rang off.
We're lucky, Jean Blau said, that we've got legal representation.
She looked frightened. Going over to her husband, she stood close by him.
Sylvanus Angst said,
I still say we're better off. Luckman would have wiped us out.
He grinned at the two police.
Maybe I did it, like you say. I don't remember. Frankly, if I did it, I'm glad.
He did not appear to have any fear of the police. Pete envied him.
Mr. Garden, Hawthorne said, I catch a very interesting thought from you. Early this morning, you were warned by someone, I can't catch by whom, that you were about to commit an act of violence having to do with Luckman. Am I correct?
Rising, he walked over to Pete.
Would you mind thinking as clearly as possible about this?
His tone was informal.
Pete said, This is a violation of my rights.
He wished that the attorney were still on the vidphone. As soon as Barth had rung off, the attitude of the police had stiffened. The group was now at their mercy.
Not precisely, Hawthorne said. We're governed by many regulations. Our pairing off biracially is to protect the rights of those we investigate. Actually, we're hampered by such an arrangement.
Bill Calamine said, Did both of you agree on shutting down our group, or was that its idea?
He jerked his head in the direction of E.B. Black.
I fully concur in the action of banning Pretty Blue Fox,
Hawthorne said,
despite what your inborn prejudices may tell you.
Pete said, You're wasting your time baiting him for his association with the Vugs.
It was obvious that Hawthorne was used to it by now. He probably encountered it everywhere the two detectives went. Coming over beside Pete, Joe Schilling said softly,
I'm just not satisfied with the attitude of that Bert Barth. He's giving in too easily. A good, aggressive lawyer would stand up for us more.
Perhaps so, Pete said. It had seemed that way to him, too.
I have my own attorney back in New Mexico. His name is Laird Sharp.
I've known him professionally and socially a long time. I'm familiar with his way of operating, and it's in great contrast to Barth's. And since they're evidently going to book you, I'd like to see you get him instead of this attorney of Calamine's. I know he could get you right out. And the problem, Pete said, is that military law still prevails in many situations. The concordat between Terrans and Titanians had been a military one. He felt pessimistic. If the police want to take us in, they probably can, he said to Schilling. Something was terribly wrong. Something with enormous power was in operation. It had acted against 6 members of the group already, and who knew what its limits were? If it could deplete them of their recent memories. The Vug, E.B. Black, said, I agree with you, Mr. Garden. It is unique and disconcerting. Up to now, we have not run into anything exactly like it. Individuals, to avoid being scanned, have procured electroshock and managed to obliterate memory cells, but that does not seem to be the case here. How can you be sure of that? Stuart Marks said. Maybe these 6 people acted together to get electroshock equipment. They could have done it through almost any psychiatrist and psychiatric hospital. The machinery is readily available. He glowered at Pete hostily. Look what you've done. Because of you, our group has been banned. Because of me, Pete said. Because of the 6 of you. Marks looked suddenly around at all of them. Obviously, one or more of you killed Luckman. You should have looked into the legal situation before you did it. Mrs. Angst said, We did not kill Luckman. You don't know that, Stuart Marks said. You don't remember, right? So don't try to have it both ways, remembering that you didn't do it and not remembering that you did. Bill Calamine spoke up. His voice was icy. Marks, damn it, you have no moral right for acting this way. What do you mean by accusing your fellow group members? I'm going to insist that we continue to act together and not let ourselves be split apart this way. If we start to fight among ourselves and begin accusing each other, the police will be able to... He broke off. Be able to what? Hawthorne said mildly. Be able to locate the Slayer? That's all we intend to do, and you know it. Calamine said to the group, I still insist we should stick together. Those with intact memories and those without. We're still a group, and it's up to the police to voice the accusations, not us. To Stuart Marks, he said, If you do that again, I'll ask for a vote to have you dropped from the group. That's not legal, Marks said. And you know it. I still say what I said. One or more of these 6 people killed Luckman, and I don't see why we should protect them. It means the obliteration of our group. It's to our best interests to have the Slayer discovered. Then we can resume playing. Walt Remington said, Whoever killed Luckman didn't do it for himself. He did it for all of us. It may have been the act of an individual decision, but we all benefited. That person saved our hides, and as far as I'm concerned, it's ethically loathsome for a member of the group to assist the police in apprehending him. Shaking with anger, he faced Stuart Marks. We didn't like Luckman, Jean Blau said, and we were terribly afraid of him. But that didn't create a mandate for someone to go out and kill him. Supposedly, in the name of the group, I agree with Stuart. We should cooperate with the police in determining who did it. A vote, Sylvanus Angst said. Yes, Carol agreed. We should decide on policy. Are we to hang together, or are we as individuals to betray one another? I'll tell you my vote right now. It's thoroughly wrong for any of us to... The policeman, Wade Hawthorne, interrupted her. You have no choice, Mrs. Garden. You must cooperate with us. It's the law. You can be compelled to. I doubt that, Bill Calamine said. Joe Schilling said, I'm going to contact my own attorney in New Mexico. He crossed the room to the vidphone, clicked it on, and began to dial. Is there any way, Freya was saying to Hawthorne, that the lapsed memories can be restored?
Not if the brain cells in question have been destroyed, Hawthorne answered. And I assume that's the case. It's hardly likely that these six members of Pretty Blue Fox have simultaneously suffered hysterical loss of memory. He smiled briefly. Pete said to him, My day was fairly well reconstructed by the Rushmore effect of my car, and it didn't put me at any time near a psychiatric hospital where I could have obtained electroshock. You stopped at San Francisco State College, Hawthorne said, and their psych department possesses ETS equipment. You could have gotten it there. What about the other five? Pete said. Their days have not been reconstructed by Rushmore circuitry, as has yours, Hawthorne said. And there are major omissions in yours. A good deal of your activity today is far from clear. Joe Schilling said,
I've sharpened the vid. You want to talk to him, Pete? I've sketched the situation briefly.
The Vug, E.B. Black, said suddenly, Just a moment, Mr. Garden. It conferred telepathically for a time with its colleague, and then it said to Pete, Mr. Hawthorne and I have decided not to book any of you. There's no direct evidence involving any one of you in the crime. But if we let you go, you must agree to carry tattletales with you at all times. Inquire of your attorney, Mr. Sharp, if that will be acceptable.
What the hell is a tattletale? Joe Schilling asked.
A tracing device, Hawthorne said. It will inform us where each of you are at all times.
Does it have telepathic content? Pete asked.
No, Hawthorne said. Although I wish it had. On the vid screen, Laird Sharp, youthful and active-looking, said, I heard the proposal, and without going into it any further, I'd be inclined to label it as a clear violation of these people's rights. Suit yourself, Hawthorne said. Then we'll have to book them.
I'll have them out at once, Sharp said.
To Pete, he said, Don't allow them to hook any sort of monitoring devices to you, and if you discover they have, rip them off. I'll fly right out there. It's obvious to me that your rights are being resoundingly violated.
Joe Schilling said to Pete, Do you want him?
Yes, Pete said. Bill Calamine said, I have to agree. He seems to have more on the ball than Barth. Turning to the group, Calamine said, I offer the motion that we retain this man Sharp collectively.
Hands went up. The motion carried.
I'll see you shortly, then,
Sharp said, and broke the connection. A good man, Schilling said, and reseated himself. Pete felt a little better now. It was a good feeling, he thought, to have someone battling hard on your side. The group as a whole seemed less stunned now. They were coming out of their stupor.
I'm going to make a motion, Fryer said to the group. I move that we order Bill Calamine to step down, and that we elect someone else, someone more vigorous, as group spinner.
Astonished, Bill Calamine said, Why?
Because you sicked that do-nothing attorney on us, Fryer said. That Bert Barth who just let the police walk all over us.
Jean Blau said,
True, but it's still better to let him remain as spinner than to stir up trouble.
But trouble, Pete said, is something we can't avoid. We're in it already. After an interval, he said, I second Fryer's motion. Taken by surprise, the group began to murmur.
Vote,
Sylvanus Angst said. Snickering, he added,
I agree with Pete. I vote for Calamine's removal.
Bill Calamine stared at Pete and said hoarsely,
How could you second a motion like that? Do you want someone more vigorous? I would think you wouldn't.
Why not? Pete said.
Because, Calamine said, his face red with anger, his voice trembling, you personally have so much to lose.
What causes you to say that? The detective Hawthorne asked him.
Calamine said,
Petit killed Jerome Luckman.
How do you know that? Hawthorne said, frowning.
He called me and told me he was going to do it, Calamine said. Early this morning. If you had scanned me more thoroughly, you would have found that. It wasn't very far down in my mind.
For a moment, Hawthorne was silent, evidently scanning Calamine. Then he turned to the group. Thoughtfully, he said,
What he says is true. The memory is there in his mind, but it wasn't there earlier when I scanned him a little while ago.
He glanced at his partner, E.B. Black.
It was not there, the Vug replied in agreement. I scanned him too, yet it's clearly there now.
They both turned toward Pete.